Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narchery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Fugu Plan. The Untold Story of the Japanese and the Jews During World War II is a work of historical non-fiction about an unusual and often overlooked intersection of Holocaust history, Japanese imperial policy, and wartime refugee survival. Marvin Tokayer, a rabbi who served the Jewish community in Japan, examines how some Japanese officials imagined resettling European Jews in territories under Japanese influence, especially Manchuria. While refugees fleeing Nazi persecution moved through Lithuania, the Soviet Union, Japan, Kobe, Shanghai, and other Asian havens, the book combines archival material, diplomatic history, and refugee testimony to explain both the strategic calculations behind the plan and the humanitarian consequences that followed. Its purpose is not to present Japan as uniformly benevolent, but to show a complex wartime episode in which anti-Semitic myths, imperial ambition, bureaucratic decisions, and individual courage produced unexpected routes of survival. It is best read as a specialized contribution to World War II and Jewish studies. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the fugu metaphor reveals the mixture of opportunity and perceived danger in Japanese policy. The title refers to fugu, the Japanese blowfish that can be a delicacy, if prepared correctly and deadly if mishandled. Tokayer uses this metaphor to clarify how certain Japanese officials viewed Jewish refugees before and during the war. Their interest was not based only on compassion. It was shaped by imperial ambition, economic calculation, and distorted beliefs about Jewish financial power and international influence. Some planners imagined that European Jews could bring capital, technical expertise, commercial networks, and diplomatic leverage to Japanese-controlled territory, especially Manchukuo. At the same time, these same planners absorbed anti-Semitic conspiracy ideas circulating from Europe and Russia, which made Jews appear both useful and dangerous. This tension is central to the book. The plan was framed as a way to exploit supposed Jewish strengths while preventing supposed Jewish threats. By emphasizing that contradiction, Tokayer avoids a simple rescue narrative. The book shows that policies with humanitarian outcomes can arise from self-interested or prejudiced reasoning. This makes the Fugu Plan historically significant because it exposes how refugee survival sometimes depended on unstable calculations inside authoritarian and imperial systems, rather than on consistent moral commitment. Secondly, the refugee journey across Eurasia places the Holocaust within an Asian wartime geography. One of the book's major contributions is its shift of Holocaust geography away from the familiar European frame. Tokayer follows refugees who escaped Nazi-dominated Europe through Lithuania, the Soviet Union, Japan, and China, showing that survival could depend on a chain of transit documents, rail routes, port permissions, and diplomatic loopholes. This wider map makes the Asian dimension of Jewish wartime experience visible. The route through Soviet territory to Japan was not a normal migration path but an improvised corridor created under extreme pressure. Refugees needed permission to leave one territory, cross another, and enter places that often did not want permanent responsibility for them. The book gives particular attention to Japanese transit visas issued in Lithuania, most famously by Shion Sugihara, because these documents became practical instruments of survival. Their value lay not in a grand rescue system, but in enabling movement at a moment when borders were closing. By tracing these journeys, Tokayer demonstrates that the Holocaust was not only a story of ghettos, camps, and occupied Europe. It was also a story of escape routes, consular discretion, and the uneven global response to stateless people. Thirdly, Manchuria, Kobe, and Shanghai function as ambiguous havens rather than simple places of safety. The book treats Asian refuge as real but precarious. Manchuria, Kobe, and Shanghai appear not as uncomplicated sanctuaries but as zones shaped by empire, war, occupation, and administrative uncertainty. Manchukuo, the Japanese-sponsored state in northeast China, was central to the most ambitious resettlement ideas because it seemed to offer land, strategic value, and a setting where Japan could experiment with population policy. Kobe served as a temporary destination for many refugees who held transit papers but lacked long-term security. Shanghai, already a complex international city with existing Jewish communities, became one of the most important Asian shelters, yet wartime conditions there could be harsh, crowded, and politically unstable. Tokayer emphasizes that survival in these places depended on continuous negotiation with authorities and aid networks. The refugees were saved from Nazi extermination, but they were not necessarily settled into secure lives. This distinction matters because it keeps the analysis historically balanced. The book recognizes the significance of refuge without romanticizing it. Asian havens offered time, distance, and a chance to live, but they were embedded in systems of military control and wartime scarcity. Fourthly, individual decisions mattered because policy remained inconsistent and morally unstable. TOCARE gives particular weight to individuals whose choices affected whether policy became rescue, obstruction, or indifference. Chiyun Sugihara is the clearest example. A Japanese consul in Lithuania, he issued transit visas to Jewish refugees, even when official authorization was uncertain or limited. And those visas allowed thousands to begin a difficult passage eastward. The book presents his actions as evidence that humanitarian agency can operate inside rigid bureaucracies, but it also shows the limits of relying on exceptional individuals. The broader Japanese state never developed a stable, purely protective refugee policy. Different ministries, military officers, diplomats, and local authorities could have different priorities. Some saw Jews as potential economic assets, some feared German displeasure, some were influenced by anti-Semitic ideas, and others responded to immediate human need. This inconsistency made individual intervention unusually consequential. TOCARE, therefore, frames rescue less as the result of a coherent national virtue than as the product of decisions made in uncertain institutional spaces. The significance of Sugihara and others lies in how they transformed small administrative acts, especially the issuing or honoring of documents, into life-preserving actions within a hostile international order. Lastly, the book is valuable as recovery history, but its complexity requires careful reading. The Fugu Plan stands out because it recovers a little-known wartime episode from documents, interviews, and communal memory, but its subject is inherently complicated. The book has to connect several levels of history at once: Japanese strategic thinking, anti-Semitic mythologies, refugee experience, Nazi pressure, Soviet transit, and the politics of occupied Asia. This breadth gives the work its importance, yet it can also make the narrative demanding. The plan itself was not a single fully implemented program with clear start and endpoints. It was a set of proposals, assumptions, contacts, and policy experiments that changed as Japan moved closer to alliance with Nazi Germany. Readers should therefore approach the book as an interpretive reconstruction of a wartime policy environment, rather than as a simple account of one organized rescue operation. Its strength is that it opens a neglected field of inquiry and gathers scattered experiences into a coherent historical problem. Its limitation is that the convergence of personal stories and geopolitical analysis can feel uneven. Even so, the book remains useful because it asks how survival could emerge from policies that were strategic, prejudiced, improvised, and sometimes humane in effect. In conclusion, The Fugu Plan is most suitable for readers who already have some interest in Holocaust history, World War II diplomacy, Jewish migration, or modern Japanese history. It will be especially useful for those who want to understand how Jewish survival extended beyond Europe and how Asia became part of the wartime refugee map. The practical intellectual benefit of the book is its challenge to simple categories. It shows that rescue can occur for mixed reasons, that bureaucratic documents can become instruments of life or death, and that geopolitical strategy can create unintended humanitarian consequences. Compared with many Holocaust studies centered on Nazi-occupied Europe, the book stands out by examining Japan, Manchuria, Kobe, and Shanghai as crucial settings in Jewish wartime experience. Compared with biographies of individual rescuers, it places figures such as Chiyun Sugihara within a broader policy context involving imperial ambition, anti-Semitic assumptions, and alliance politics. Readers should not expect a conventional military history or a seamless refugee memoir. Its value lies in recovering an obscure and morally complicated episode that widens the frame of Holocaust scholarship. The book remains distinctive because it treats Japan neither as a simple rescuer nor merely as an Axis power, but as a state whose contradictory policies helped shape the survival of thousands of Jews in Asia. In Asia, if you would like to support Marvin TOCARE, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.